Welcome to Real Talk with Ree, the podcast that dives into the real and sometimes raw topics of motherhood. I'm your host, Ree, from mummyoffour.com. Here we talk about the issues we face, from overwhelm and the comparison trap, to finding ways to make our lives easier and be happier every day. We discuss tips and strategies to help us be the best versions of ourselves so that we can be the most amazing role models and show up for our families. So if you're ready to have real conversations, learn, laugh, cry, and grow together, this is the place for you. Let's get to it. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Ree. I am your host, Ree, from mummyoffour.com. How are you? How was your week? Well, I am in a process at the moment of decluttering. I say I'm in a process. I have just, if you've watched my main channel, tackled my daughter's bedroom. It took so much longer than I planned for it to take, and it was much harder than I thought it would be, but I'm so glad it's done. And I say I'm in the process of decluttering because I know there's so much that needs to be done in this house. We have been here coming up to 4 years now. I keep saying the new house, we've just moved. We've not just moved. It's been nearly 4 years. And over those 4 years, a lot happens. Things come into the house. Things do not necessarily leave the house that should leave the house. The children bring things home from school. They have new clothes. They need to have their old stuff sorted, stuff that no longer fits them, stuff that is broken, stuff that no longer suits them. And as much as it's tempting to hang on for things for just in case or pass it down or will we need it, it's so important for me anyway to stay on top of decluttering. It is not a process I enjoy doing, but it's something I very much enjoy when it is in fact done. So today I'm going to share why I think decluttering is so important, the mental and physical benefits that it will bring, the mental preparation you're going to need to do if you want to get started, the things that you're going to need to do in order to do it, the different methods that you could use to do it, and how you're going to feel halfway through and how you're going to feel when it's done. So I hope you're comfy, or if I'm joining you in your AirPods out on a walk, you know, you're enjoying life and the sun is shining and life is good. But wherever you're listening in from, hey, are we ready to talk about this? So decluttering, what are the benefits? Why are we going to bother? There are so many, guys. There are so many benefits to decluttering. So the first one is that you actually end up with more space around you, which feels like the walls aren't closing in on you as much. If you've decluttered, you've just got more room to breathe. It is easier to keep everything clean because if there is less stuff about the place, there is less stuff to physically clean. There is less stuff to tidy and put away. And especially when you get to the stage where everything has a home, everything has a place, tidying up can be a breeze. Even your kids can do it. Yes, even your kids, maybe even your husband. I know, I said it. But yeah, it really is a case of the more you declutter, the easier it is for your whole family. Not just you, the easier it is for your whole family to actually stay on top of things. And if your children are anything like my children, they're always very resistant to any decluttering being done. But oh my goodness, they love it when it's done. And they feel like they've got new stuff. They feel like they've got new toys, which brings me to the next thing. As you're decluttering, you find things you thought you'd lost, or like little bits of things. Like Zara found, as I was decluttering, it was like a little piece of plastic that I thought was something and nothing. And it was a really important part of the Sylvanian family, something, 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 something that she was really, you know, anyway. To me, it was just a tiny bit of plastic. To her, she was thrilled. And you do end up finding things when you declutter, which brings me to yet another benefit of decluttering. And that is you end up spending less money ultimately because you find things that you forgot you had. Things like if you declutter your house, it's not just about chucking things out. We'll get to that. But it's about finding things and putting them from the man drawer. Has anyone seen Michael McIntyre talk about the man drawer? It's a man drawer in the kitchen where you've got takeaway menus, random leads. You've got what are they called? Instruction booklets for products you don't even own, keys for homes you no longer own. I think we've all had a man drawer at some point. But if you find bits like that, like charger leads, all these kind of things, and you actually realize we've got a lot of charger leads, guys. We've got a lot of charger leads in this house. You don't end up having to buy new charger leads because you can't find any. Because through the process of decluttering, not only are you throwing things out you don't need, you're finding things that you do need. And I've got to say, the biggest benefit, I would say, to decluttering is the kind of mental load it lifts off. And this kind of goes hand in hand with how I feel when the house is clean and tidy and organized. I feel like it's good for my mental health. Like, for example, I work from home. So if I'm in a clean and tidy environment, I feel like my mind is clean and tidy, and then I can be more productive. I can have clearer thoughts. I'm not looking around, because whenever I'm looking around, and it's like my office can get cluttered up quite quickly, especially when I get sent lots of packages and things, or Christmas time, there's lots of stuff dumped in here or whatever. When it's full of junk and clutter, or just things I've not yet dealt with and put away in their homes, I just feel really overwhelmed and I feel like I can't concentrate properly. So maybe that's not everyone, but I do believe it is quite common for a lot of people. And clutter also attracts clutter. So if you've got a beautifully clear surface in, say, your kitchen, and someone puts a thing on it, you're more likely to move it because it's interrupting your lovely clear surface. But also maybe your family are less likely to dump things on a clear surface. If, however, there's a lot of clutter there already, what's adding one more thing and then one more thing and one more thing until your whole house you can't even move? This has been my personal experience anyway. So that's with the why. The mental preparation to declutter. I think you need to decide how ruthless you're going to be. You've got things that you're going to want to keep, potentially, you know, like keepsake type things. And recently I have labelled up keepsake boxes, big sturdy boxes, and put them in the attic for the children's keepsake things. So really precious things like a dance trophy or a special card they had from someone or a really beautiful picture they drew. I'm not talking every time they ever put pen to paper, because there would not be space in the house to keep every single thing that my children ever drew. They draw a lot. But those really special things in a keepsake box. And that goes in the attic. I've got a space downstairs in another box, actually, where I gather together things that are going to live in the keepsake box. So the next time I go up the attic, then I can put them in there. But at least then I've got somewhere for those things to go. I'm not kind of having them about the house, you know, because those keepsakes can feel like clutter when they're in the way, when they're things you don't actually need to use. Now, the other things are things you do want to use and just need to go in their actual home. So we need to think about, have everything having a home. And that's everything from, say, charger leads. For example, I've got a drawer. You can't see anyway if you're just listening on the podcast, but if you are watching, then I have got drawers just below where my camera is. One of those drawers is just leads. I've got lots of different leads, obviously, because I've got lots of cameras and chargers and things to charge, rather. Cameras and what are they called? The things are external hard drives. I have a lot of external hard drives, so therefore a lot of external hard drive leads. But that is the place that they all live. And now that I've got that place, I realize I have loads of them and I know where to put something every time I find one of them. So everything having a home is absolutely essential. And then when you think of everything having a home, you've got two options with stuff, haven't you? You can get more storage for the stuff you have, or you can slim down the stuff you have to fit the storage that you have. And sometimes it's somewhere in between. So you'll need some new storage solutions. And if you've watched like my home tours and things, you'll know I've got a lot of Calyx. This is, if you're watching on YouTube, the Calyx is this unit behind me from IKEA with these boxes, and it swallows so much stuff. We use a lot of Calyx around the house because it's just really good for hiding stuff and not having it out on display, because I'm a big fan of clear surfaces and things hopefully nice and organized in various boxes. And I'm going to be honest with you, this unit behind me right here, that's something I actually need to organize, which I'm looking at it and it's feeling quite overwhelming. I think I last did that in 2021, which was a number of years ago. So that is on my decluttering list. But long story short, with what we're going back to, you can have plenty of storage, but there's going to come a point in your life where even if you have loads of storage, it's going to be full. And actually, do you know what I love? And if you saw my video where I pulled apart the playroom, there's a big cupboard at the back of the playroom, which is my eldest's bedroom when he comes home. And it's the playroom when he's not here. There's big cupboards in there. And my youngest three are not allowed in there because it is for mummy to store things in there, and it's a good handy place to store seasonal things, if you know what I mean, as you approach seasons such as Easter, Christmas, Halloween, etc. And in between those seasons, I have now got it to the stage where I've got 8 of these boxes that are empty. And that is a really great place to be, because then when you have stuff coming into your home, like before Christmases, before birthdays, before Easter, before Halloween, or even before if you're like packing for a trip, you've got somewhere to put and store those things, and it's so, so valuable. So as we're decluttering, we need to think, have we got sufficient storage?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Are you fed up of feeling crazy, busy, and super disorganized all the time? Well, I've got you covered with my new Organized Life Planner, which is here to help you get your life back on track. With a yearly overview, weekly planning, daily planning, task prioritizing, meal planning, birthday planning, weekly reflections, journaling, notes, and more, this planner is perfect for busy mums who want to get organized and stay motivated. Get your copy now in digital or printed format and start planning your life today by visiting mummyof4.com/planner or using the link down in the show notes. And are we growing the storage to fit the stuff, or are we shrinking the stuff to fit the storage? And really, we need to shrink some stuff and make sure we've got sufficient storage. We need to do both. So we then need to assess our space and have a look around and prioritize what needs to be done. So for me, if I just mentally go around my house, the kitchen isn't doing too badly. I have got some boxes in my dining room that I need to go through. I do know that some of the units under the TV have still got some of the children's Christmas stuff in it. Just for some context, I am recording this in March. So that needs sorting and organizing. My office, the desk area is really organized. I think, was it last year I redid the desk area in my office? I think it was 2023. But the big Calyx unit behind me, which is 25 boxes, that needs doing. That hasn't been done in a long time. So that needs doing. I did recently declutter under the stairs, so that's not too bad. I recently decluttered the playroom. That's not doing too badly. And then going upstairs, I've done Zara's room recently. That was amazing. To get that done, it was blinking stressful. 2 days. It was supposed to be a one-day job. I'd allocated one day. And at the end of the one day, I was nowhere near finished. And I did do a big sort out in Bella's room at the end of last year when I had her new bed. Will's room is really on my radar. That really needs doing too. So that's quite a lot of stuff. That's quite a lot of stuff that does need doing. Oh, under my bed, actually. I did tackle that last year, I believe. But that needs another look at it when I do the seasonal wardrobe switchover. So yeah, that's my assessment of my space. Pause this or grab a pen and paper or just make a mental like note around your house. Which areas really need decluttering, and the ones that need to be prioritized, the ones that really stress you out. If it's an area of your house that every time you walk in, you're like, ugh, or if it's every time you open the drawer, you can't shut it. If it's annoying and it's just annoying you and irritating you and rude words, making you think and say rude words every time you go near it. I'm keeping this podcast clean, so I have to mark it as explicit. But if you are just thinking very irritated, rude thoughts every time you go to a certain area of your house, that's probably where you need to start. And sometimes that can feel really, really overwhelming. Now, there are two ways that we can look at decluttering. And I do/have done both. So the first method is the chunking it down method. And that is taking like a drawer or a box, sorting through it, and then putting it back, which in like that has its place. So for example, I've got one drawer in my bedroom that's the girls' hair stuff for school drawer, because that's where I do the hair for school. And doing that drawer in isolation would make sense because it is largely just that stuff. It mostly needs tipping out and, you know, navy hair bobbles, putting with navy hair bobbles, like store them on carabiners and things to keep them all together, and like brown hair bobbles with brown hair bobbles, and the hair bands being put back in neatly and things. It's mostly a job to be done in isolation. Maybe there'll be one or two things that have been stuffed in that drawer that don't belong there, and those need to be put back where they go. And that drawer could be done in isolation, and I pretty much quite regularly do that. However, if you were to take, I think the example I used in the video where I was doing Zara's room, if you were to take one of the boxes in her room, that I thought was largely leggings. And I thought, right, I'll sort through all this now. And I'm assessing, like, which ones fitter, which ones don't fitter, which ones are a bit scruffy. And I'm assessing what to keep, what to pass on, what needs recycling, what needs donating. And I'm assessing all this stuff. And if I was just to do that in isolation, I'd find lots of bits that needed to go lots of other places because she'd shoved lots of various things in together. But then when I went to do another box or another drawer another day, it would interfere with the original leggings thing because I'd find extra leggings. I'd think, oh, everything I thought had fit in this place now doesn't fit because I've all got this extra stuff. So when an entire room is quite messy, really the best way to do it is method number two, which is to tip it all out. Now, this can feel very overwhelming, so it can put you off from actually starting because you know it's going to take a day, or in the case of my last decluttering project, two. I wasn't very impressed by that. So it can feel very overwhelming to do this, but when you tip everything out, it has a few benefits. Number one, it's like the going on a bear hunt. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. Oh no, you have to go through it. Has everyone read that book to their kids at some point? You know what I mean? You have to go through it. The only way is back. You can't just shove it all back in. If it's just one drawer and you get a bit fed up, you can just close the drawer and walk away. Whereas when you've made a right mess, like when I've tipped out everything from my daughter's bedroom all over my bed and I can't go to bed till I've moved it, or I've tipped out everything from the playroom all into the living room and I can't actually sit down and watch TV because there's a big pile of junk in the way of the television, then it forces me to do it. And so many times, I think every time I've ever done a decluttering video, and it's just, I've just vlogged it really. I've just shared exactly what I was doing and just been as open and honest about my feelings as possible. I think every time I've done that, I've just got to the stage where I'm like, oh, what have I done? Regretting my life choices, please send help. Why, oh, why, oh, why am I doing this? And I lose my why a little bit at that stage. And obviously the why is quite important to stick to because it spurs you on and keeps you going. Anyway, option number two seems to be the only way to make myself do anything. And definitely it does make me procrastinate it a little bit. Zara's room's needed doing for ages. And I have procrastinated it because I've had to have the time, the mental capacity and the energy to actually do that. But ultimately, at the end of the 2 days, it was done. Whereas if I was just doing a drawer at a time, it would have taken forever. And in fact, by the time I got round to the last drawer, I'd probably need to start all over again. So for me, the self-destruct mode seems to work a lot better. So categorizing. It is important to categorize things. That's how I like to declutter things and to then ultimately sort things. So we're decluttering things into where they need to be kept and stored, kept in like a functional area where we're going to want to access them, whether things are going to be recycled or donated, or ultimately if they just need to go in the bin, they're not actually any good to anyone, they just need to be disposed of. So as you are going through these things, you could look at the KonMari way of doing things, you know, does this spark joy? I have actually implemented something for a future declutter. And that is, since I did my wardrobe switchover, where I went from summer to winter, that would have been autumn 2023, I put all of my hangers in the normal way. And then as I have put everything away again, having washed and worn it, I've put the hangers the wrong way around, if you follow me. So I've twisted it so it's hooked underneath the rail and facing the wrong direction. So that's had a couple of implications. The first, then the main one, is to see what am I wearing and what am I not wearing. But then ultimately, when I go to grab something to put it on, if I've worn it already, then the hanger is the wrong way around. So it puts up some resistance and obviously I can still get it off. I can unhook it, but it puts up some resistance and it reminds me, hey, Ree, you've worn this. Try and wear something else. Because I think, if you think of the 80-20 rule, which just covers everything in life, we wear 20% of our wardrobe 80% of the time. We use 20% of our stuff 80% of the time. And this has forced me to wear a bit more of my wardrobe. So we really will see how that pans out when I do my spring or winter to summer, I guess, wardrobe switchover, which will also be a bit of a declutter over on my Mummy 4 channel. And we'll find out then how well it's worked, and it will show me if I have really not worn something all winter, then really I need to have a think about whether I want to or need to keep it, because that really does need thinking about. So yes, we need to think about these categories. It's quite important, I feel, to get inspired and to really keep front of mind what we want. So, you know, watching things like The Home Edit really encourages me to want to declutter. Other people say that watching my decluttering videos while they declutter, that's like a bit of a body doubling thing, bit of inspiration, then that can be a good thing to do. So there's loads of YouTube videos. I have quite a lot, if you're interested, about decluttering. That might be interesting for you to watch. I would say one of my top tips, though, is when you're doing what The Home Edit's called the edit bit, which is where you look at all the stuff and you decide what you're going to keep and what you're going to chuck. There's two schools of thought in this. You get your children involved and help them decide what do they want to pass on, what do they want to donate, especially if you explain to them they've only got a finite amount of space. So if they've got Christmas birthdays and things coming up, they need to make space. But equally, I actually find that my children fall in love with things. They're like, oh, but this bit of plastic is so precious to me and I love it and I could never part with it. And that seems to be the case with everything they find. So personally, I find, especially when they're little, doing the edit section without an audience can be beneficial. And it can be quite hard sometimes to let go of things because it's very easy to get sentimental about everything your child has ever worn or played with. So for me, I like to pass things on to other people that can wear and enjoy the clothes, or other people's babies, obviously, that can wear and enjoy the clothes. For me, seeing those clothes and being like, oh, it's like it's still getting worn, especially since I feel quite emotional attachment to, I can remember buying all the children's clothes, I can remember choosing them, I can remember why they wore them, and that feels quite emotional. So it's quite nice that some of that can be passed on and you can kind of see that, especially if it's like some of your friends' kids or something. That's really nice. Obviously, you can sell things and that will really set some more money to buy some new things. So that's always beneficial. But yeah, I would try and think about, you know, things going on to a nice home, toys, for example, passing on to other people that you know. I take a lot to my children's school for the nursery class, which is the class for 3 and 4 year olds here in Wales. And they have a lot of the children's old things, and I feel that that's quite nice. It's people that took care of my children, and now we're sort of paying back a little bit with some things that they can play with the new children coming through the school. So we're editing, we're finding a home for everything, and then ultimately putting everything back that is going to stay in their beautifully new organized things, in their beautifully organized places. Fresh bedding and things can all go down at the same time, you know, when you're putting a room back together, arranging the cushions nicely, just those little finishing touches. And suddenly the whole space that you're living in can feel so much nicer. If you go from having clutter to having clear spaces, to having drawers you can open that are not exploding, that you can shut with ease, that you can find things straight away, you end up saving so much time because you're not hunting around for things and clearing up all the time, saving so much money because you're not having to repurchase things just because you lost them in all the clutter, and just saving your sanity. I think that's what it's all about for me. I do not enjoy the process of decluttering, but when it's done, I'm just always so grateful that I put myself through it and that I did it. So what are your thoughts on decluttering? Is it something you do frequently, something you do rarely, or something you never do? And is it something you want to do? Is it something you feel you need to do? Let me know down in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. I don't think you can comment on podcasts if you're just listening in your ears, can you? They should probably implement that. That would be helpful. So obstacles to decluttering. So the big ones we're going to overcome here. Sentimentality. Now, I think we need to realize we can't keep everything forever. And this can be quite hard, deciding what to keep and what to pass on or chuck. Having that box of important things in the attic really helps. But also with children's art, we've got an art photo stream where I take photos of all the lovely things that they do and make. And even if you are going to store them, if something happened to them, then they go all crumbly and gross. You've got lovely photographs of that. And that is all kept for us in a shared photo stream. So we're on the Apple ecosystem. So I created a photo stream on my phone and I invited the other members of the family to it. They can all add to it. And they take photos of pretty much all the things the girls ever draw and make, which is a lot of stuff. So that can help. Procrastination, obviously, I think is a big problem. I think procrastination is a topic all in itself that we need to discuss perhaps on another episode, because I felt like I was brought up to be a procrastinator, and it's something I've had to work so hard to overcome. And I feel like it is a state of being I can slip back into so easily, especially when I'm calling procrastination, I'm just perfectionism. And being like, oh, if I can't do it right, I'm not going to do it at all. So procrastination can be a big thing, but like I said, that's a chat for another day. And just overwhelm. I think we do have to also remember to be kind to ourselves in that, okay, these decluttering things, we will feel better when they're done, but we also need to realize there are times when we just need to think, no, actually, I need to prioritize rest. I need to prioritize getting well. I need to prioritize other things in my life, because there's a lot going on at the moment. If you've got a lot going on in your life, then you're feeling under the weather or whatever it might be. Maybe that is not the time for a big declutter. Equally, in other times of my life, just to totally contradict what I just said, when I've had a lot going on, the actual act of decluttering has felt very therapeutic. So it can go either way. But I think we do have to be kind to ourselves and not force ourselves to take on massive projects when we just don't have the bandwidth to. So thanks so much for tuning in for another episode of Real Talk with Ree. Check out the other episodes on the podcast. Check out my Patreon for some early release and more behind the scenes content. Check out my Disney channel if you're into Disney vlogs, my Mummy of Four channel if you are into just general lifestyle content. I shall see you guys soon. Bye.